It's a hot, sticky night in Dar es Salaam. I'm at a club called Escape, and we're going to walk in and try to track down a guy called Damion Soul. Damion Soul is supposed to be one of Tanzania's upcoming artists, and hopefully he'll make some time to speak to me. It's been a bit difficult finding him. Hi. How are you?
I'm
all right. How are things? I'm Alan Kasuja, and this is My Africa, the series exploring young people's futures in my own native East Africa. It's part of our Richer World season here on the BBC. Today, I'm in Tanzania, looking at social and economic mobility through the eyes of this elusive young man.
I have a bond to you, man. I've been looking for you the whole day today.
By the way, I'm very sorry. My apology. You know, I slept in the morning, so...
27-year-old Damion Soul is often hard to pin down. But then, as a musician, he's a bit of a free spirit. His ambition itself is hardly conventional and far removed from the way his parents' generation thought of success.
I'm doing music. I'm a singer, producer, and I'm so ambitious. I'll be the first East African musician to win a Grammy. And I mean it. I mean it. Nothing is impossible. All things are possible. There's no limit.
Tell me about tonight. Well, what's happening tonight?
I'll be performing tonight with my band.
So are you excited about tonight?
Super excited. Yani kabisa.
What sort of people are going to show up?
All kind of people, because a lot of people knows me by my name.
So you are a big deal in this town, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm a big deal.
I feel like I'm in the presence of a star, or at least an aspiring star. It's hours before Damion gets to go on stage. It turns out the main attraction tonight is actually a well-known hip-hop act. So we use some of the waiting time to chat.
So we are going to have something to eat.
Yeah, for sure.
You're buying, man. you're the rich musician here.
Not really, man. Still hustling.
Really?
I have $10,000.
That's not a lot of money. You have cash in your pocket.
Not really.
Social mobility means having more money and status than your parents. But Damion's yet to achieve much of either. After some 5 hours, Damion eventually gets to sing.
Being on stage in front of that big crowd, actually, it drives me. It gives me a picture that one day you're gonna stand in front of 1,000 people, like 50,000 people, 60,000 people. Not only in Tanzania, you know, there'll be Chinese, Europeans, Americans, and they're gonna be inspired by the music that you're putting all together.
Tonight, Damion's given time for just 3 songs before driving his bandmates home in the one car they have between them. I'm wondering, is he really going anywhere? Damion Soul grew up in Dar es Salaam. His father, who died in 2007, was a judge. And although the family wasn't rich, it was comfortable enough.
So, this is your neighborhood then?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. This is where you were brought up?
Exactly. I was born in this house, inside.
So, when you decided to become a musician, your father, may his soul rest in peace, how did he react?
He didn't want to support me that. Because he told me, hey, music won't take you anywhere. You have to go and get a professional, you become a lawyer like me, or you'll be a failure.
Back in the immediate post-colonial era, many people achieved affluence and status through the public sector, especially in Tanzania, which was the bastion of government economic control. Anyone lucky enough to be able to wanted their kids to become teachers, civil servants, or doctors, or indeed judges. Since then, Tanzania has become more global, more capitalist. Kids are faced with more choices about their careers, but these can bring conflict.
This is a street where I used to come when I used to quarrel with my daddy. When you mess up with your daddy, you can't stay at home.
Let's get this right. So your father would chase you away from home. And so where did you sleep?
I used to go to some of my friends' house. But, as time goes on, people are getting tired of you. You know, like, hey, man, you become like a burden to us. So this is the place where I used to come, and I slept somewhere outside.
And we're outside the street.
Oh, 15.
Right, about 15, sleeping outside,
yeah, outside,
running away from your father, yeah, running away from his anger.
I didn't want, yeah, exactly. We called it Mkoloni.
He was pre-colonial.
He
was old style.
Yeah, old
colonial
style.
Colonial era.
Yeah.
Attitudes and mannerisms.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted me to excel, to have good education. He wanted me to have PhD, you know, to study, to represent the family. Without realizing that you can represent the family even though you're a musician, like Bob Marley. Who knew Bob Marley's father? Nobody.
You didn't do the things he wanted you to do.
Yeah,
you didn't become a lawyer. You didn't get a real job.
Yeah, sure.
I'm right in the middle of Dar es Salaam, a very, very busy part of Dar es Salaam. As you can hear, there's lots of cars moving around. It's about lunchtime. And I'm here to meet Jillian, who is Denmin Soul's PR person. She works in a pretty big building, one of the biggest skyscrapers in the city. And she tells me that we'll find her on the sixth floor. So let's go find her. Ah. Hello. How are you?
Very good.
Alan Kasuja from the BBC. I'm here to see a lady called Jillian. She represents a musician called Damien Soul.
Damien and Soul.
Do you know Damien Soul?
No.
I was determined to find her. Like any self-respecting PR agent, Jillian had invited me to lunch. This must be it. Jillian.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. So this is Damien Soul's PR office, is it?
No, I also have a day job.
Oh, sorry. You're not full-time Damien Soul PR office?
No, this is not his office, but I operate from this office.
Okay, fair enough. That's Jillian's actually employed in hotel administration. Perhaps I shouldn't have been so surprised she's only part-time for Damien. After all, he's hardly got a global fan club to organize. Is Damien joining us for lunch?
He is joining us for lunch.
Okay. Is he stuck in traffic? Because that's what he usually tells me when he doesn't.
That's always the excuse.
But later, Jillian let me in on another secret. One that really got me wondering whether Damien's just a wannabe pop star, still railing against his over-strict father. Damien is not here for lunch yet.
Could I make a call to him, please?
Do you always have to call him? I thought you had an appointment.
An appointment with him, but I spend so much time with him.
Oh, what does your boyfriend think about you spending so much time with Damien?
Oh my God, he doesn't mind. You really want to know what I'm going to say, eh?
I do, yeah.
Okay, because my boyfriend is Damien,
what?
So there's no problem with
what?
That. Yes.
Your boyfriend is Damien?
Yes.
Do you think he's going to become a big musician?
Yes, I do.
Because I think if you did, you'd quit your job and dedicate your time to him full time.
There are times when I actually get mad at him, but he is making it.
Are you convinced by that?
I am convinced. I believe in him. I believe in his music. I want to see Damien being brand ambassador. I want to see Damien being called to big festivals. I want to see Damien winning a BET award.
A Grammy. In Tanzania, there are plenty of young people like Damien doing music for a living. And many of them like to do things their own way. Singing in Swahili, spouting social and political issues. They call that conscious music. Some of them, just a few, have made it big, making them much better off than their parents. But some of them are just dreamers. I've come to a marketplace in Dar es Salaam to explore a much more practical approach to social mobility. At least that's how my other subject in today's program would see it.
These people are tirelessly working. This market is always up at 3 in the morning.
So there is a decent work ethic here.
There is, and right. Actually there is a lot of money here.
So a lot of these people we see at market stalls, and this is something I've seen in Uganda, mm-hmm. will have children who have graduated from university.
That's true.
So there will be people here who make a decent enough living to educate their children.
Not decent, a huge lot of money. Mm-hmm. Huge money is coming from here.
I am Mark Okello, and I'm a co-founder of Youth Initiative Tanzania, which is a charity organization established to address youth challenges, especially when it comes to social mobility.
I've seen quite a number of people doing music, but without basic skills, it doesn't help when it comes to social mobility.
The reason I'm meeting Mark at the market is also because it's next to one of Dar es Salaam's poorest areas where he does most of his charity work.
This is the biggest slums in Dar es Salaam. Our biggest role is to see young people graduating from the kind of life they are living now and to get some good life.
Okay, so let's take a walk around them. This is what? This is a gutter.
This is like a sewage trench. But it's really not well managed.
It's not managed at all.
It's not managed at all.
You can tell it's used as a dumping point. The water is stagnant. Literally thousands of polythene bags. And it smells. It must be a source for health problems.
It is. Indeed it is.
So I'm very curious to find out how one gets out of here with these sorts of challenges in this environment and moves to the more upscale parts of Tanzania.
Well, self-awareness. If I know where I am now, and I would wish to do something to get out of this. With some little help, people make it. But it is not very easy. It's quite a challenge. I lived in the slums myself. I was born in the village, and I decided to go to the city. And unfortunately, I first was living in the slums. The good thing is that I had some basic skills. So gradually, I started getting out of that, and today I'm somebody totally different. So you see, when it comes to social mobility, we really need to have some tangible skills.
Now, this kid reminds me of myself as a child. Mambo, nataka kujaribu kucheza mpira mimi pia. I want to play with you guys.
Jina lako ni nani?
Abbas. Abbas, miaka
mingapi?
Abbas is 12 years old. Mark says he's often frustrated with the people he tries to help. And one reason is that he says they have unrealistic goals. What do you want to become when you grow up? He wants to become a footballer when he grows up. Show me some skills.
They think that it can happen overnight. They spend so much time dreaming instead of waking up and doing something. So if you spend so much time dreaming, you sleep a lot.
Ironically, this slum itself is an attempt at social mobility. People have come into the cities from the countryside in order to make life better for themselves, rural to urban migration in order to better their lives. And they might be able to make it to the town, but it's a totally different story to try to make it out of the slum into greater things.
Mark's solution is practical, self-help. Having worked in consultancy and politics, and even his local church, he's now risen well above his parents' status and lives in a fine house. Here, in his garage, he runs a workshop where less fortunate young people make sandals from old tires. This helped fund his charity's work. But again, Mark's frustrated. Foreign buyers love the shoes, he says, but many slum dwellers themselves seem to be unmoved by the very thing that could help them make more of their lives.
Unfortunately, you find that we don't have enough local market for these products that we are producing because of the tires. People do not fancy the used tires. They don't find it cool for them. Actually, it's ironic because it's something that can also generate them a lot of money to get out of the slum life.
This series is all about looking to the future, but some of us can't escape the realities of our past. According to Mark, this includes our own family backgrounds. He says all these things can define our ambitions in ways we struggle to appreciate. Witness the drunken man we met back in the slum.
Saidi.
Saidi, how old are you?
Hey. 35
years old.
Nabeba mizigo, mimi nafanya kazi mizigo nabeba. Niko sokoni.
So all this time you've worked in the market carrying luggage on your head as a porter. Okay.
The man told us that his ambition is not getting out of the slum, but merely to have a car so that working as a porter might be easier.
Kuandika?
Yeah.
Sijui sijasoma.
Okay, he didn't go to school, so he can neither read nor write. And he says that whenever he needs to sign any documents, he uses his thumb.
Watu wanasema, mimi nakunywa pombe, kumbe nakunywa maji. Na watu wanasema, nalewa kichaa, kumbe si kichaa. Oh.
He's basically saying that people think that he's a drunkard, and yet he doesn't think he's a drunkard. It's, alcohol is water to him.
They understand that there is some better life, but unfortunately, they are also contented with what they have, so they don't think beyond today. And they can always boast of their social connection. That is, they fall together, they rise together. You see? That is, with family, friends, neighbors, and everything.
So for them to leave this place and venture off into doing other things would require them to abandon that very important part of their lives.
That is the best thing they can do, to do that. Unless your parents have some vision, then it is not very easy. But unfortunately, the parents do not think beyond that. So most people in this kind of setting don't see any life beyond the slums. It's like in Swahili we say playing unampigia mbuzi guitar.
You're playing a guitar to a goat.
It doesn't understand the tune.
It sounds harsh. But again, Mark has his own story to tell.
I was not satisfied with what my life in the village was and how my parents' life was. So I wanted to be somebody different. My parent, especially my dad, used to call me, come back home. But I said, no, I'm not going to get back to the village. I have to stand alone myself, and I don't have to live your life.
Mark's experience suggests that both over-idealism and poverty of ambition can be obstacles to achievement. But so can your family background and the assumptions of parents about where you stand in the world. Back on the better-off side of town, Damien Soul would agree with that, but he rejects any charge of being unrealistic about his dreams. Nowadays, he says, he has his feet firmly on the ground, and he scorns the so-called conscious musicians who aren't commercially focused.
It's not bad to be conscious, it's good. I'm a conscious musician. But sometimes when you're too conscious, as in too conscious, hey, my man, you'll die with hunger. You have to be skilled man when it comes to business, eh? Yeah.
Today, we're in a taxi on our way to a recording studio. Damien has secured a few lines and a melody in an upcoming release by Navio, a successful rap artist from Uganda. Who was at the concert I went to earlier?
This is the one. This one with Navio might be a big breakthrough for me, you know, to be exposed to places that I've never been to and to places people have never heard of me, you see. So it's really a big opportunity for me, you know. I'm gonna have this kind of houses one day. Yeah, I'm gonna buy those kind of houses.
A pretty big houses.
Big
right?
houses.
How soon?
Not even 2 years. It's just this year.
Ah, come on. You see, sometimes when you say things like that, I wonder if you're being serious.
I'm serious.
Unfortunately, Damien's organization is letting him down again. We've already tried to meet a producer who turned out to know nothing about the recording. So now we've come to Navio's hotel.
Pardon? Yeah, exactly. Karibu. The hotel that we met yesterday night. You are at Wister's. I thought you were here. Oh. Damn, man.
He just never knows where he's going or where he's coming from. Damn. You seem a bit irritated. What's happening?
We have to go on the other side because...
Uptown.
That's where he is right now. So yesterday we were here up to late night. Up to 2 a.m. But now he's at Wister's, and there's another studio close to Wister's.
Okay, so shall we
go
there then?
Yeah,
we go. There isn't much of a plan. Do you improvise things as you go along, or do you normally plan them?
I plan.
It's like... very difficult to believe you, man. We went to the wrong hotel, wrong studio, the guy at the studio wasn't ready for us. Time is being wasted in all that.
So what are you trying to say, my brother?
I'm just observing. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that.
Observing. You know, difficulties are there. Yeah. But you see, out of all this, you're getting this product.
You see, you have an answer for anything. You have an angle on all these things.
There's the songs I got out of frustration, out of this difficulty. Kabisa.
I love you, Damien.
Hey, you're fun.
You're interesting.
Thank you, my brother.
It's true. Damien's achieving a certain influence by just being interesting. That could be social mobility of a sort. And he might well turn all the chaos into a positive asset just through his own personality and sheer audacity and his undoubted talent. When we finally reach the studio, while Damien practices, I ask Navio what he thinks. Navio is a major artist successful across Africa, so he knows what he's talking about. Just like Mark, he says achievement comes down to having the right skills. And he reckons if Damien stays focused, he can make it.
Oh, hands down. Hands down. I mean, there are a lot of kids who can sing. There are a lot of kids who can play instruments. There are a lot of kids who can write a song. There are a lot of kids who can perform. There are not a lot of kids who can do all of them. You know, people say youth is wasted on the young. So, you know, every day has to be, you have to have accomplished something.
Damien, do you really have any skills?
Damien Soul as a brand, I'm not there yet. And I'm not doing something that my parents wanted me to do. But I'm choosing my own destiny, and I believe my destiny is powerful, and I'm gonna make it no matter what. Nobody has power to stop this drive which is in me.
We'll see if Navio's song featuring Damien Soul helps lift Damien into the limelight. In the meantime, his status and standard of living remain, let's say, a bit different from that of his parents. But he says he's doing okay, living in a modest house in a reasonable district. Looking back, he insists he made the right choices, and he thinks that if his father was still alive, he might even agree.
When we were kids, most of our parents could never support us in music, because music used to be, you know, it wasn't a career.
Music has changed now, has it?
Hey, nowadays, musicians of Tanzania, they're owning a properties, you know, some of them own
properties.
I have a car. it's an investment. It's an asset. I own a TV, you see. Are you not comfortable?
Yeah, no, I'm very comfortable.
I own this coach.
Yes. but now, do you think your life is more comfortable now than it would have been if you'd followed your father's advice?
I would have been a failure if I would follow my father's opinions, you know.
Damien doesn't live in a slum, and his vision of social and economic mobility was always going to look different to that of someone like Mark, who sees it as a way of rising above absolute poverty. But they both agree that real success comes from being able to do what you feel comfortable with, not with what you have to do, either for financial reasons or because you're conditioned to. Perhaps that's the most inspiring message I'm taking away from this series. Not everyone in Africa has got life choices, but increasing numbers of people do have. And maybe those who do might just help lift the rest.
We are at the orphanage called Umra Orphanage Center. I've come to pay a visit to sing together with them and also to inspire them. You know, this is what I normally do every Sunday.
Since his father passed away, Damien's technically an orphan himself, and he says he understands the needs of the children. His message to them is that you can make your own choices in life, with or without your parents, and even that you can do it better by yourself.
You see, kids are growing up with fear. Like I, personally, I used to fear my dad. You have to stand up, you have to come out, speak loud. Mambo! Out of this group, you might find the great, great musician will come out of this.
Do you think that music will provide them an avenue out of an orphanage, out of despair, into possibly a much better life?
Definitely.
And he's offering gifts to the children. And there's a young girl who can't be more than 6 years old who stood up. He's asking the child to sing. One of the conditions for these kids winning any of the little presents is carried in them is that they must sing confidently and articulately. It is very telling in itself. I was a bit cynical, to be honest. But he's teaching them something about the world when he tells them that you must be confident and you must be loud in order for you to win anything. And two, dangling something that is out of their reach in front of them, because these are orphans and they don't have as much as you did.
Let me use this opportunity to ask you this question. What is success to you? Having a good, big house, a nice car. Success to me simply is if you can do the thing that you love to do, if it gives you a peace of mind and you have passion for it and you're doing it. If you give me $10 million, and you remove music from me now, I'll leave you guys with your millions and you go with it, but I'll stick with music because that's what gives me peace of mind. To me, that's it. Number one success.
For my money, Damien Saul might well be someone that we'll all be hearing more of in the future. But whatever happens, his story, and that of all the young people I've met in this series, is one of forging his own future and taking responsibility for his own well-being. The more that Africa comes to be characterized by people like them, the more its own future will be assured. In the words of Damien's song, Hakuna Matata, no worries. That's all from My Africa and me, Alan Kasuja. The programs in this series were produced by Mike Gallagher, and you can hear more from the BBC's Richer World season online at bbc.com/richerworld.